To my dearest friends, I am honored to welcome you back once more for today's exploration into the secrets of the 41st millennium. This period of our galactic history is marred by the fading empires of ancient species who were unable to endure the brutal passages of time. And yet, none would exemplify this point more than of the fabled Eldari. Their time of dominance has long since come to an end, and for now they have been relegated to a rather ascetic existence, spent upon the drifting void ships known as craft worlds. Over the years, their population has dwindled to a truly critical level, so much so that they will happily orchestrate a plan which results in the death of 1 billion human souls, if it means that a single Eldari will survive for another day. But when their kind do eventually shed their mortal coil, then their souls will be captured and preserved by the craft worlders as a means to protect them from the starved beasts of the warp. The spirit stones in which their souls now reside will be integrated within the great infinity circuit of the craft world, allowing their essence to live on and to aid their kind, even in death. The Farseers may commune with the souls of the deceased, beseeching them for advice on a coming situation, or to simply keep them company as they eternally drift through the void. But beyond this, during only the most dire of situations, a spirit stone may be retrieved from the infinity circuit and placed within a mighty suit known as a Wraith Construct. From here, their essence will flow through the empty shell, until they may once more stand and walk amongst the living as a ghost warrior, ready to channel the vengeful fury of the dead against the enemies of the Eldari. This, however, is but the briefest of overviews, and so today, my dearest friends, I shall provide a more in-depth exploration into these fascinating creations. Firstly, we will explore the concept of the spirit hosts in more detail, ranging from why the souls of the Eldari are in constant danger, through to the methods needed to rouse an individual from death, and of why this rebirth is not as perfect as it may sound. After, we will go over the various Wraith units of the craft worlds, including the Wraith Guard, Wraith Lords, and even of the titanic walkers known as Wraith Knights. There are several more to discuss, but we shall get to those in due time. And for now, I do believe that we should begin. We are to walk amidst the golden paths of a craft world, moving between the fabled infinity circuit and of the slumbering tombs to their kind. But this is utterly necessary for us to truly understand the Wraith Constructs of the Eldari. Long before the galaxy was cleaved asunder, and long before the early ancestors of mankind even walked upon two legs, the cosmos had been claimed and conquered by the ancient species, named as the Eldari. They came to dominate reality, growing as the masters of both the material realm and of the mysterious dimension known as the Webway. But from their strength came hubris, and over the long years their society devolved from one of innovation to one of indulgence. Pleasure cults erupted across the empire, their members urging the Eldari to cease in their labors and to simply relax, by laying back within their palaces and tasting upon the succulent fruits which their species had cultivated for thousands upon thousands of years. In time, their simple luxuries were no longer sufficient, and so they turned to darker and more depraved thrills. But as we all know, that which occurs within reality is sure to also leave a mirrored ripple within the depths of the warp. The debauched energies of their species coalesced within the immaterial hellscape until finally what was once but a single mote of wickedness exploded out as a newly born chaos god named as Slaanesh. The Prince of Pleasure, in their first moments of life, devoured billions of the succulent Eldari souls, and as the many worlds of their empire were pulled into the nightmare of the Eye of Terror, we can safely say that the time of the Eldari had come to an end. But even with this cataclysm, some were able to escape. Most found refuge upon the great craft worlds, whereas some chose to settle upon Exodite worlds, and others still decided to embrace their new nightmare and flee into the dark city of Komoror. But our investigation today is primarily focused on the craftworlders and of their fascinating methods behind preserving the souls of their dead. According to their ancient mythos, when an Eldari passed away, they were believed to be reincarnated, thus preserving their spirit across the passing ages. But as Slaanesh tore their way into immaterial reality, this wheel of death and rebirth was shattered. We could speculate that this was due to the Prince of Pleasure slaying and devouring near every member of the Eldari pantheon. But it could also have come about simply from the veritable upheaval of the warp left behind from their birth. In any case, from that point on, when an Eldari died, their soul would be left to drift through the warp, no longer protected by their gods and no longer able to find purchase within a mortal coil. In this state of vulnerability, the demons of Slaanesh would descend to pluck their glowing essence as though it were a ripe berry, eager to deliver this trophy as a gift to the Dark Prince. None can be entirely sure as to what happens to their souls once Slaanesh seizes it in their supple palm. But we can safely say that it would be a fate far worse than simple death. To ensure that this never befalls their kin, the Eldari will wear artifacts known as spirit stones at all times. These are psychocrystalline gems which will absorb the departing soul of an individual at the moment of their death, thus keeping it safe from the horrors of the warp. Their fellows will then retrieve the stone and implant it within the wraithbone core of their craft world, at a location known as the Infinity Circuit. This will allow the departed to leave their stone and to meld with the collective spirits of the fallen craft worlders, from where they will be ever protected and given time to eternally rest. There is an equivalent to the Infinity Circuit upon Exodite worlds, named as the World Spirit. In this case, when an Exodite dies, their soul will be captured by a network of ancient stone monuments, allowing it to be absorbed into the very essence of the world upon which they reside. The Drukhari, however, have taken a different approach to save their souls. They have entered into something of a dark bargain with the gods, where they will inflict as much anguish and misery unto others as possible, in the hopes that the entities of the warp will prefer to feast upon the product of their torture over the souls of the fallen Eldari. But to return to the craft worlds, we should acknowledge that once an Eldari soul has conjoined with the Gestalt essence of their dead, that they may still have an impact upon the material world. Primarily, their psychic presence is thought to power the craft worlds themselves, meaning that each engine, light, or automatic doorway is fueled by the unconscious strength of their fallen. Also, the Eldari may draw from the psychic energies of the Infinity Circuit to enact certain rituals upon their vessels, such as would be the case for a seer to attempt to gain providence over the events of the near future. Similarly, those upon the path of the witch may directly communicate with the souls of the departed, If they wish to, a spirit seer may project their own psychic essence into that swirling haven, blending and intertwining themselves with the twisting strands of fate still emanating from their souls. Conversely, a single soul may be called forth from the collective, perhaps in the hopes that they will provide some much-needed advice in regards to a treacherous quandary. With all that I have said, we should now learn that once a soul has been summoned from the infinity circuit, that they may in fact be drawn back into a spirit stone and detached from the collective to serve a specific purpose for the craft world. This will be where we move onto the topic of ghost warriors. Who are the Eldari that have been plucked from their eternal slumber in order to join in the living ranks of the Eldari war hosts? It is quite tragic that even in death, the fallen Eldar will find no respite from the everlasting conflicts of the living. But I do believe that our galaxy is one most easily defined by war. And until the final stars flicker out of existence, then there can be no rest, not even for the dead. But in any case, the ghost warriors, or wraith warriors as they are sometimes known, are robotic vessels which have been imbued with the soul of a fallen Eldari, granting them with the chance to once more interact with the material realm. The suits themselves are known as wraith constructs, and without an inhabited spirit stone to power them, they will simply remain hollow and inactive, most often being stored within the shrines of a craft world, where they will remain in cold isolation. As with most of the other Eldari tools of war, the wraith constructs are built out of the curious material known as wraith bone. From what we understand, this is a psychoplastic, which may be molded and shaped by the bone singers, who can channel their own psychic song to resonate with the material, causing it to reform into any shape that they so desire. This substance is so versatile that the Eldari will use it to build anything from the smallest of weapons up to the foundations of the craft worlds themselves. The reason it is so often used in the Eldari armories, however, is that wraith bone is tremendously durable, being able to withstand far more punishment than of an equivalent-sized piece of adamantium, whilst still being considerably lighter in weight. Also, the wraith bone will regrow over small areas of damage, meaning that, in the case of the ghost warriors, that their armor will repair itself, though this process is, admittedly, quite slow. I previously mentioned that wraith bone is psychically conductive, and perhaps it is from this reason that the soul of a deceased Eldari is able to permeate and control a suit built out of that material. Much in the same way that electricity would run through a construct of iron, we can imagine that the essence of an Eldar will flow through the wraith bone, bringing life to that which was once so cold. The concept of reviving the dead, only to force them into a new shell and marching them off to fight in the wars of the living, is so grim that we would almost expect to find it in a faction such as the Imperium of Man rather than the ancient Eldari. But in truth, the Eldar themselves are typically rather repulsed by the entire idea, and some would even prefer it if the practice was abolished altogether. They see this as necromancy and believe that the choice to disturb the souls of the deceased is one which will leave a heavy burden upon the witch who thought themselves above life and death. To them, the Eldar who have been saved within the infinity circuit are to be forever protected from she who thirsts. And so to pull them out of this Empyrean haven would once more expose them to the danger of falling victim to the powers of the warp. But it is for this very reason that the wraith warriors will not be summoned, unless there is truly no other option. If the Eldari war hosts have already suffered catastrophic losses, yet cannot under any circumstance abandon the field, then they may make the fated decision to call forth several squads of Wraithguard, or even of a titanic Wraith Knight. From here, they will stride with an unnerving sense of robotic coordination, but this is where the idea of a ghost warrior becomes rather dark. The problem with these constructs is that the revived pilots are not perfectly preserved versions of their past selves. And rather, they are caught between life and death, not quite gone, yet not entirely present. The phenomenon is known as Wraith Sight, and it is an unfortunate malady which will pervade every soul that has been revived to fight once more. Older sources have stated that they do not see the world in the same way as you or I, but instead, they can only perceive an ever-shifting landscape of energy, dotted by the faintest traces of a memory, barely recognized as being their own. A ghost warrior, if left to their own devices, will typically act in one of two ways. Some are known to simply wander vacantly, with their minds bereft of thought nor meaning, yet their bodies will be compelled to mimic ancient faded instincts, forcing the construct to move without meaning nor purpose. Others, however, will simply freeze and remain locked in place, becoming more akin to lifeless statues than of a vessel for the living dead. Naturally, it would be rather heartbreaking to see a Wraith construct acting in either manner, especially if it was inhabited by the soul of an individual who you once cared for in life. We now possess other, more modern sources, however, which claim that their perception is more akin to a living dream, where reality will appear both familiar yet unfamiliar at once, and where their every movement will feel as though it is performed against the rushing currents of an invisible ocean. In this state, they will see the living traces of their fellow Eldar as shining beacons who may guide them through the eternal night. Typically, this dream-like state will be experienced by those who still retain a strong psychic link to the material world, such as with the seers or warlocks, whereas common warriors will be cursed with the darker, more confusing existence that I previously described. Regardless of which source you feel more inclined towards, understand that this Wraith Sight can be curtailed by the presence of an individual known as a spirit seer. These are warlocks who have walked the path of the witch, yet developed a dark fascination with the departed souls of their kind, often resulting in them choosing to spend their days fully immersed within the mystic ocean of the Infinity Circuit, overmingling with their living fellows. From their psychic projections, they can reveal the true nature of reality to the ghost warriors, allowing them to better perceive a battlefield, and yet this still cannot restore their old minds. Whereas most Eldar will dart about with a daring sense of alacrity, nimbly sprinting and leaping across the field to reach their enemies, the Wraith warriors are left to stand as near polar opposites. They will slowly yet purposefully march forward, taking no pause nor rest. In some ways, they are death incarnate, moving with a sense of inevitability that can only be found from having once shed your mortal coil. To make their presence even less comforting to outsiders, most Wraith constructs will be entirely silent. With that being said, however, they are able to communicate telepathically with their fellow Eldar, and so they will often be called upon to voice their opinions in matters of war, as their venerable experience is always highly valued by the seer councils. As another point of tragedy, if an Eldari soul is summoned forth too many times from the Infinity Circuit to walk again for hundreds, if not thousands, of additional battles, then they may end up in a state where they are thought to crave the final embrace of true death. These would be known as the Doom Seekers, and though we know very little about them, we know that the ancient Wraith Lord, known as Toralvan Gravesong, finally fell to that path, and so sacrificed himself during a pivotal battle in such a manner that his soul could never again be recovered and summoned once more by the Eldari. There are many variations of Wraith constructs to be built by the Bone Singers, but no matter their form, know that the Eldar will do everything within their power to protect them, for if they cannot safeguard their dead, then how could they possibly care for their living? The most common form of ghost warrior to be encountered within the spirit hosts of the Eldari will be of the venerable Wraithguard. Constructed out of the aforementioned Wraith bone and piloted by a single Eldar soul, they will typically be deployed in small squads of around 10, often to be led by a single spirit seer. Though in truly dire situations, a warlock may similarly guide the flock. The actual presence of a Wraithguard can be rather intimidating, and they are known to leave quite a striking impression to those who have stood anywhere near their presence. They have been recorded as standing at around twice the height of a standard Eldari, which would put them at around 12 feet or 3.6 meters in height. This is only a rough estimate, however, partly because of the height differential within the Eldari species, but also because their elongated headpieces and general posture will obviously skew our measurements. On the topic of this helmet-like piece, it has been formed to the same organic, quasi-biological design as most other Eldari armors, where this one is shaped as a single flowing teardrop, almost completely smooth at its surface. Perhaps to exemplify that these constructs are indeed inhabited by the dead, they are bereft of viewports or external sensory systems, as we must remember that the entombed soul must perceive the outer world as an ever-shifting ocean of spiritual energy. But in any case, held within their cold wraithbone hands will be of their tools of war. The most common weapon used by these warriors would be of the devastating Wraith Cannon. We would almost never find this armament in the hands of a mortal Eldari, partly because of its sheer heft, but also because they are powered by the psychic energies of a spirit stone. Thus, the Eldar would need to draw out a fallen soul, trap it within a spirit stone, and use it purely to activate their weapon, which would be highly disrespectful to the deceased. But for the Wraithguard, they are already powered by their own stone, and so they may channel a portion of their own essence towards this weapon. When fired, it will focus the bearer's psychic energy onto a single point, which will then burst out as a small rift between reality and of the warp. Though it is only open for the briefest of moments, it can cause their enemies to be ripped into the immaterium, or for the errant arcs of Empyrean energy to lash out at random, devastating entire squads from that hellish assault. There exists a far more fearsome and thankfully far rarer variant of the aforementioned Wraithguards, and they would be known as the Wraith Blades. The souls which have been interned within these constructs are from the Eldari, who died with an unquenchable rage, leaving them to fester eternally within the Infinity Circuit, desperate to enact vengeance upon any who would dare turn their arms towards their fading kin. Such is their undying hatred for the living enemies of the Eldari that the Bone Singers have built within their robotic shells a series of sensor vanes which will supposedly suppress and calm the fiery spirit within. These will naturally be deactivated once a Wraithblade has made contact with an enemy, permitting them to fully embrace their violent rage and to satisfy their otherworldly desire to kill. On this point, They will not choose to march into battle whilst wielding the ranged weapons of the Wraithguard, and instead they will only seek to shed blood within the glorious frenzy of melee. They will carry ghost axes and ghost swords, which themselves are weapons that are powered by waystones recovered from the demonic crone worlds of the warp. The Eldari souls who are trapped within these stones will have been driven into their own state of bloodthirsty mania after having been abandoned within the Eye of Terror since the days of the Great Fall, where they were forced to bear witness to the unbridled chaos of the warp as it expanded and devoured all in sight. Naturally, then, it is only logical to pair the ghost weapons powered by vengeful Eldari spirits with the most vicious of ghost warriors. Interestingly, the Eldar will seldom speak aloud the true names of the Wraithblades, as they believe that such an act will incite the wrath of Cain. But for those who are less superstitious, then they will freely refer to them as the Clyvolch. But once the violent soul has been summoned from the Infinity Circuit and placed within their Wraithblade construct, then the actual spirit stones will burn so brightly that the air itself may seem to catch a light, but it is from this blazing rage that allows them to walk as the undead effigies of Cain. Though each and every Wraithguard will be piloted by a veteran aspect warrior of the Eldari war hosts, there are some who will have proven themselves in both life and death as being a true champion upon the battlefield, and these nobles will go on to pilot the Great Walkers, known as Wraith Lords. These constructs are so vast that they will require an incredibly potent spirit to be able to properly utilize their various armaments, as a weaker soul may simply be too meek to even walk once within their new shell. But in any case, once a noble Eldari soul has been chosen, they will similarly be retrieved within a spirit stone and implanted into a Wraith Lord to take control. These constructs will tower over most others within a battlefield, dwarfing even the giant Wraith Guards, as they are said to stand at around double their height, meaning that they could each be over 20 feet or 7 meters tall. Wraith Lords have been molded by the Bone Singers in much of the same way as the Wraith Guard, and they will retain the iconic teardrop-shaped headpiece, with smooth armor panels covering the rest of their Wraithbone body. Though aesthetically similar, the Wraith Lords are noted to be almost supernaturally durable to damage, and so we could speculate that the methods behind their construction are rather more specialized than of those used for a Wraith Guard. As a result of this, the craft worlds will always treasure the Wraith Lords, partly because they represent a great investment from their Bone Singers, but also because they walk as living statues, inspiring a great deal of awe in the eyes of the mortal Eldari below. I previously mentioned the two sources on Wraithsight, suggesting that an entombed soul would see either an indecipherable blur or of a dreamlike vista, but for the heroes who are chosen to walk within the Wraith Lords, they will certainly see the latter. This is because that as one's soul becomes stronger and more psychically connected to the Empyrean, that it can better endure the challenge of being summoned from death back into the realm of the living. Thus, Wraith Lords will often sit within the Eldari War Councils, as the consciousness of their pilot has often been preserved to a far better degree than of some of their lesser Wraithguard-bound cousins. This also extends to their ability to interact with the outside world, as rather than maintaining a telepathic connection with their peers, some Wraith Lords have been known to speak aloud to those around them. But in any case, as with any other Wraith construct, they are to be summoned as warriors who will once more bring their combat experience to defend the lives of their fellow Eldari. Upon their shoulders, they may mount immense weapons, including bright lances or star cannons, but within their hands, should they choose to do so, then they may hold onto a shimmering ghost glaive. This blade will contain the sentient essence of a fallen Eldari warrior, which can meld with that of the pilot, guiding their blows to be stronger and more precise. The actual weaponry used by the Lord in death will reflect those which they used in life. But if forced into a dire situation, then they may simply resort to smashing and tearing apart their foes with their two great power fists. Though their souls are indeed strong, even a Wraith Lord can fall to inactivity due to the affliction of Wraith Sight. And so the presence of a Spirit Seer will help them to once more navigate this world of the living. There exists a variant of the aforementioned Wraith Lords, which is so incredibly rare within the galaxy that few will ever be fortunate enough to even hear of their tales, and these would be known as the Wraith Seers. Where a Wraith Lord has been piloted by the soul of a fallen champion, a Wraith Seer will instead act as the shell to a long-dead warlock or seer, who requires a vessel that will allow them to fully channel their psychic might towards the enemies of the Eldari. Physically, they will appear in much of the same way as of the Wraith Lords, where they will be a towering yet rather elegant construct, moving with a sense of grace, as though they were a statue that had sprung to life. But within their headpiece, it has been speculated that the Wraith Bone and crystalline materials have been molded in such a way that they will amplify the distant echoes of the warlock's psionic power, possibly elevating them beyond what was held when the Eldar still lived. Most often, their psychic gifts will be used to empower the fellow ghost warriors of a spirit host, which the Wraith Seer will naturally lead. From their power, the fellow warriors will be almost entirely free from the malady of Wraith Sight, allowing them to fully perceive the outside world for what it truly is. It has been noted, though, that if a Wraith Seer is destroyed or killed in battle, then the psychic backlash of this loss can cause the surviving ghost warriors to lose their connection with reality, resulting in their bodies freezing, reducing them into little more than ghostly statues. Such is the rarity of these reborn seers that some have speculated that the actual methods for creating the Wraith Seer frames have fallen into obscurity. If this is indeed the case, and if the Bone Singers can no longer produce new Wraith Seers, then the loss of even one of these ancient constructs will be a truly devastating blow to their kind. Ironically, since the ripples of the psychic awakening washed over the galaxy, it would likely be easier for the Eldari to find a strongly tuned soul of a departed seer to implant within a Wraith body. But alas, it seems as though this will now be almost impossible. All ghost warrior constructs are truly magnificent creations to look upon, but there are some which tower over all others, both in their sheer scale as well as from their overwhelming power, and they would be known as the Wraith Knights. Next to the titanic walkers of their war hosts, these are the largest of units to be found within the Eldari armies, being so large that they will make even the great Imperial Knights look rather squat by comparison. Standing at a towering 50 feet or 15 meters in height, they will truly dominate a battlefield with their imposing presence. Clad in thick, interlaid panels of Wraith Bone armor, and often further protected by an energetic scatter shield, they will be more than hardy enough to endure all but the most specialized and apocalyptic of weapons. But there is a curious difference to these Wraiths, which sets them aside from all others. And it is that they are not only inhabited by the dead, but also by the living. The Wraithbone construct will be used to harbor the spirit of a fallen Eldari warrior, who will flow through the ancient material, bringing it into a state of ghostly life. But they are not to pilot this suit, and rather that responsibility will fall to a chosen Eldari pilot. All potential pilots will be recorded at birth, but only in the conditions where one has been born as a twin. Curiously, the psychic connection held between Eldari twins is so strong that they are known to be able to communicate telepathically or to sense the true emotions of the other, even when separated over a great distance. Quite sadly, the tragic state of the Eldari has forced their kind to exploit this link for means of war. If one twin is killed and their soul is stored within a spirit stone, then their connection will persist. And so if that stone is inserted into a Wraith Knight, then the surviving twin may maintain the deep connection with their sibling by piloting the vessel now imbued with their soul. This will allow the pilot to effortlessly control the Titanic Walker, whilst also remaining in contact with their departed twin. Some have speculated that in truly dark times, that an Eldari Autarch may order for the ritualistic killing of a twin, as a means to force the survivor into a position where the only way for them to maintain a connection with their departed sibling will be to volunteer as a pilot for a Wraith Knight. Quite sadly, as the Eldari species continues to dwindle, and as fewer and fewer twins are born each year, this practice has become ever more common. Nevertheless, the speed and alacrity possessed by the Knights is nothing short of remarkable. Despite their size, they can move with the same sense of grace as of any mortal Eldar, sprinting and leaping across the field to slash their titanic foes in twain with their mighty ghost glaives. Some of the paired siblings will prefer to remain further back from the front lines, however, and in these cases they might choose to wield inferno lances or death shroud cannons, making them just as, if not more, deadly than of their melee-focused counterparts. There is an incredibly rare variant of these constructs known as the Skathach Wraith Knights, who will endlessly patrol the webway seeking out interlopers and invaders in order to keep the labyrinthine realm of the Eldari forever safe. We know very little about these ghostly guardians, other than that the living pilot has been consumed by the grief of losing their sibling, and so they will spend every waking moment within the confines of their suit, desperately clinging onto their final connection with the departed twin. Similar to the Wraith Knights, there are other Eldari constructs which involve a merging of the living and of the dead. Notably, the Hemlock Wraith Fighters will fit this bill. These are aerial fighter crafts formed out of wraith bone to allow the spirits of the fallen to find refuge within their hull. At a basic level, they will be able to control the craft, but ultimately a living spirit seer pilot will be the one who is in control. The souls of the dead will be channeled through to the cockpit, where they will commingle with the mind of the seer, essentially making the aircraft feel like it is an extension of themselves. Rather obviously, this will make steering and piloting the vessel to come as naturally as breathing. And so to witness one of these fighters will be to see a distant silhouette arcing and diving through impossible maneuvers before disappearing high up within the clouds. Beyond this, however, as the essence of the fallen Eldar flow through into the pilot's mind, their own psychic capabilities will rise, and at times they must be discharged as a terrifying shockwave, stunning enemy pilots as they feel the intrusive touch of the dead encroaching in on their very souls. Unfortunately, the Spirit Seer pilot will not be safe from their own attack. The grasping reaches of the dead will slowly move from the wraithbone to find purchase within the soul of the living seer. And it is not unheard of for the ghosts to tear out this pilot's soul, from where it will remain trapped within the fighter craft forevermore. In these situations, the Hemlock will silently leave the battlefield, only to return to the distant craft world. Upon opening the cockpit, we would not even find the corpse of the fallen spirit seer, as instead there will only be the faintest hum of psychic energy rapidly dissipating into the air, leaving naught but empty space where a living Eldari once sat. But with this, we have come to our end. The Ghost Warriors are truly a rather grim subject within the faction of the Eldari, as the concept of summoning forth the departed soul of a fallen hero, only to force them back into the chaos of battle once more, is nothing short of shameful. With that being said, if the Imperium of Mankind could access the vestigial souls of their own dead, then I am sure that they would produce a similar means of capturing and controlling their essence. We must remember, however, that for the Eldari, that they will only ever call forth the spirits of the dead to fight again, in situations where an utter defeat would risk pushing their species towards damnation. Their kind do truly care for the souls of their kin. And yet, with the galaxy consumed in an unrelenting war, I do not believe that their practice of producing ghost warriors will ever end. But now, my dearest friends, I must once again close this chapter. Thank you all for listening to this tale on the Eldari in its entirety, and know that your support is always appreciated, now and forever. I wish you all the best, and as I leave, I will bid you all with a warm goodbye.